Today's Daf HaShavua Shir in Yerushalmi is dedicated to the memory of Dora Bas Rivka Silver, Olah HaShalom. It begins in the Oz V'Hadar edition on Daf Yud Gimel Amid Beis, three lines from the bottom of the Amid, at the beginning of the line with the words, Tani HaKore Im Anshe Maimed. In the Vilna edition, it is the last few words on Daf Tes Amid Beis. In the last Shir, we saw in the Charedim six lines from where it gets wide, where he brings the Gemara in Yuma Daf Lamed Zayin Amid Aleph, which states, HaKoyre Shmaim Anshe Mishmor Lo Yotza She'Anshe Mishmor Makdimim. If someone today would say Kriya Shema at the same time as the Anshe Mishmor did in the Beis HaMikdash, those Kohanim who were doing the Avoda the entire day, and they used to say Kriya Shema before the Avoda, when it was too early to say it, if a person would do that, he's not Yotza Kriya Shema. He's saying it too early because She'anshe Mishmor Makdimim. The Anshe Mishmor used to say Kriya Shema earlier than the proper Zman because they would be busy later doing the Korbanos without a chance to say Kriya Shema. Now our Gemara will discuss if someone says Kriya Shema today at the same time that the Anshe Maimid used to say it in the Beis HaMikdash. Begins the Gemara. Tani, we learned in a Braisa, HaKoyre Im Anshe Maimid Lo Yotza. If someone says Kriya Shema today at the same time as the Anshe Maimid used to say Kriya Shema, he is also not Yotza. Why? Ki Me'achrim Hoyu, because the Anshe Maimid used to say Kriya Shema late. Now, first of all, who were the Anshe Maimid? The word Maimid literally means a station. These were people, these were Yisraelim, who were chosen to stand in the Beis HaMikdash, and they represented all of Klal Yisrael during the sacrifice of Korbanos Tzibur, communal sacrifices. Min HaTorah, an owner of an offering of a Korban has to be there, has to be present when the Korban is sacrificed, when it's Nikrav. And since the daily Tamid is a Korban Tzibur, a communal offering, it was necessary, technically, for all of Klal Yisrael to be present at the Hakrava. Now, since this is impossible, so the Anshe Maimid were chosen as representatives of all of Klal Yisrael to fulfill this requirement on their behalf. And just like we have learned previously, that the Kohanim, the Anshe Mishmor, were divided into 24 groups, and each one of the groups served on a one-week rotating basis, so too with the Anshe Maimid. And we can see this in the Mara Fulda, Divrei Hamaskel Anshe Maimid, around six lines from the end of the Mara Fulda, on Daf Yud Gimel Amid Beis, says the Mara Fulda, Heim Yisraelim ha'imdim al ha'korban b'shlichas ha'tzibur. These are Yisraelim who used to stand next to the korban as representatives of the community. The siv, this is based on a pasuk in Bamidbar, Perek of Ches pasuk beis, Tishmeru lahakriv. And from there we learn out sheyiyu oimdim umeshamrim al korbanon, that they had an obligation, Klal Yisrael had an obligation to stand and guard that, in fact, their korban was being sacrificed on the Mizbeach. That's what we learn out from Tishmeru, you should be careful, lahakriv, to make sure that this korban is brought. And these were the Anshe Maimid who represented Klal Yisrael. Now, why do we say they were ma'achrim? Here there are a few different pshatim in the Mefarshim. Let us begin with the Rash Cirillo, four lines in the left-hand column from the bottom of the Amid. Says the Marash Cirillo, Uma'achrim likreis ad kolos avodas ha'tamid. They would say Kriya Shema after the avoda was done with the korban tamid, va'avar zmana, and they were late after the correct zman. Why? She'avru kvar hanetz, because the hanetz achama, the rising of the ball of the sun, had already transpired. L'mandi yomar v'goymri hanetz achama. According to the mandi yomar that we learned, that the time in which you can say Kriya Shema in the morning is up till the rising of the sun. After that, one opinion says that you do not fulfill the mitzvah. So if someone today says Kriya Shema after Hanetz HaChama, according to that opinion that says you're not Yotza, and he does it at the time that the Anshe Maimid used to do it, which is after the Netz HaChama, he is Lo Yotza. Then the Rosh Cirillo adds, Ulamandi Omar ad shalashois. But according to the opinion that we had earlier in the Mishnah, that you can say Kriyishma Shel Shachris up till the end of the third hour, Loyavar. Then he did not transgress on saying Kriyishma at the right time. It appears from the Rosh Cirillo that he's learning that Anshi Maimed Lo Yotza, that would be only according to the Shita, according to the opinion, that it has to be completed by the Netzach Hamed. Then, in fact, the Anshi Maimed were late, and if someone today does it, he's late as well. If we look in the Charedim, three lines from the bottom, Divri Amaschel Tani Hakarim Anshi Maimed Lo Yotza, Kimi Achrim Hayu, says the Charedim, that they used to do it after the avoda of the korban tamid, v'kavar avra oynas kriyishma, because Rabbi Yeshua says ad shalosh shoyis v'heim hayapturim da'iskav mitzvah patur mitzvah. So the Charedim learns that in fact, not only if, according to the Man D'Yomer that says that you have to finish it by Netzach Hamed, but even according to the Man D'Yomer that says that you have to finish it before the end of the third hour, the Anshei Maimed used to say it after the third hour. And the Charedim wants to understand how, in fact, could they do it? And the answer is, because Eitzke B'mitzvah Patur Min HaMitzvah. Since they were occupied in the mitzvah of bringing the Korban Tamid, they were Patur from the mitzvah of Kriyishma. Today, if someone reads Kriyishma after the third hour, like the Anshei Maimed did, and they had a Heter, they were supposed to be Eitzke in the Korban Sibur, even though that would mean that they would miss out on Kriyishma because of the rule that if you're busy with a mitzvah, you're potter from another mitzvah. But if someone else does that today and he reads Kriyishma after the third hour, he's not Yotze. But then the Charedim asks a very strong question. V'kasha hadavar mi'oit. It's very difficult. Eich hoyu ma'achun kol kach. Why would they be so late to mitzvah on Kriyishma? Ha'netzacham, I understand that it was after Netzacham. But doing the avoda for the Korban Tavmid Shel Shachar did not take more, as we'll see, than an hour. They would not come to the end of the third hour. We find in Pesachim Dafnun Chesem et Aleph, the Shayin Be'esik Tavmid Shel Be'en Rabbayim, Shoh Achas Bovad. It's only 1 hour that you're busy with the Korban Tavmid. So how could you miss the Kriyishma, which has to be said until the end of the third hour? So asked the Charedim on his understanding. The Rosh Cirillo learns, as we saw, that our Gemara is going according to the opinion that you have to finish it by Netzach Hamed. And then, in fact, they were late. They were doing it after the Netzach Hamed. But according to the Charedim, who's learning that our Gemara is going, even according to the Man D'Yomer, that you have until the end of the third hour, so the Charedim says, I don't understand, because it wouldn't take 3 hours from Netzach Hamed to finish the Avodah. It would take an hour, so why would they be late, the Anshei Maimed? However, we find in the Ramban, in the Melchemes, in Bavli Brachas of Chesamid Beis, that he understands the Gemara, that not that they were really late, that they the Anshei Maimed, that they totally missed Kriyishma, it means, Lo Yotza means they did not do Kriyishma, they did not recite Kriyishma at the optimum time, which is Hanetzach Hamed. Of course, they were Yotza, the basic mitzvah of saying Kriyishma, which has to be done before the end of the third hour. But to do the mitzvah with a hitter, to do the mitzvah in a better manner and finish it at the earlier time of Hanetzach Hamed, that they missed. And if someone, that's what the Gemara means, says the Ramban. Even according to the opinion that you could say Kriyishma until the end of the third hour, but it's better to say it with Hanetzach Hamed, and that mitzvah, doing the mitzvah in a better way, that's what Lo Yotza, that's what the Anshei Maimed were not Yotza, and if someone does it today, he too will fulfill the basic mitzvah of Kriyishma, but he will not fulfill the inyan of saying it at the optimum time, which is Hanetzach Hamed. Continues the Gemara, Rab Zeira b'shem Rab Ami. Rab Zeira said in the name of Rab Ami, b'yoymid Rab Yochanan, in the times of Rab Yochanan, during Rab Yochanan's lifetime, havina nafkin l'tainisa, we used to go out to the town square on a day of a tainis for a tzora of the tzibur, as we turn to Daf Yud Dalid Amud Aleph, v'korishma, and we used to read the kriyishma, boser t'lashoyin, after 3 hours had ended, and no one was moche, no one protested that what we were doing was wrong. Let us see the Charedim, what possibly someone could have protested about, and they didn't. The Charedim begins at the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Let's learn it together inside. In the Divrei HaMaskil, Nafkin L'Tanisa, K'disnan Reish Perek Shenet D'Tainis, we learned in Masech D'Tainis, at the beginning of the second Perek, the B'Tainis Tsoras, and now we go to the Charedim on the top of Yud Dalet Amud Aleph, in a Tainis of a Tsor of a Tzibur, Hayu Yoitzin L'Rechoy V'Shalir, L'Spal L'Tfil L'Shal Kol Yoim Shemayna Esrei, they used to go out to the public place, and they used to say the regular Shemayna Esrei, Umaysifin Oit Sheish Brachas, and they would add another six brachas. So there was a total of 24 brachas. Ukvar Karu Kriyishma Bainasa. They had already read Kriyishma at the right time. In fact, they may have even read it with the brachas of Kriyishma. But they waited for Shemayna Esrei until all the people would gather together, which took a lot of time. And that was after the third hour of the day. It came out that there was no smichus of gula l'tfila. They did not say Gaal Yisrael right before Shemayna Esrei, because Gaal Yisrael, they said earlier, at the correct time, before the end of the third hour, when they were saying Krishma. Shemayna Esrei, they said after the third hour. You're allowed to daven Shemayna Esrei after the third hour. But what was missing was putting together Gaal Yisrael with Shemayna Esrei. They had a necessity to wait until all the people gathered together for davening on the tainis, which took a lot of time, and therefore they were only able to accomplish this after the third hour. Kvar avru shalosh shoyes, da'ines kriyishma. The proper time to say kriyishma had already passed. Avol tefillah sheninu, tefillah shachar ad chatzos. Tefillah Shachar can go to Chatzos, or at least it goes to the end of the fourth hour. So they had yet another hour to say Shemayna Esrei in the right time. The Chema Tzasi LaRambam, the Charedim said, I found the Rambam in Hilchas Tefillah, Perek Gimel Alocha Hei, where the Rambam states that in a tainis, Pa'amim Loi Hayu Samchin Gula L'Tefillah, sometimes it would come out that they did not have Smichas Gula L'Tefillah. So they read Kriyishma. Let's see the next Charedim. Anachnu v'chol atzibur, afal pishakoroi sabay nasa, even though we read it at the right time, the Kriyishma, the first time, chayizrin v'karin ata, we used to read the Kriyishma again after the third hour, right before Shemayna Esrei, kidei lamed, b'tfilah m'tayach devretayach k'lekameh. We saw this earlier in the Yerushalmi, on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, that even when one cannot be yoytze Kriyishma, they would say Kriyishma before Shemayna Esrei, just like we have, for example, by Musaf. Before Musaf, we say Ashrei. So in their times, before every Shemayna Esrei, they would make sure to start the Shemayna Esrei through an introduction of words of Torah. And therefore, they would say, instead of Ashrei, they would say Kriyishma. And the Charedim continues, V'lavi mamchi, nobody protested. Loi hayo moichi b'yadeinu mishim d'dilma yitu ha'adjoitis k'lekameh. As we're going to see, there's a danger that amaratzim, people who are not learned, who don't know that the learned people had already said Kriyishma at the right time, they'll come on the scene, and they will not have said Kriyishma earlier, and they'll think that you're allowed to say Kriyishma after the third hour. That is considered the right time. That's where their mistake is. So perhaps we should stop this minig. And no, there was no protest, even though there was a possibility that the Amaratzim would make a mistake. Now let's see the Gemara further. On the second line, Rabbi Yossi, V'Rab Avcha, Nafkin L'Tanisa, they went out to a Tainis, Asa Tzibur, the congregation came, Umikri Shema, they read Shema, Basut L'Shoen, after 3 hours. Bo Rav Acha Machuyi Beyadon. So Rav Acha wanted to protest this practice of reading Kriyishma after the third hour. Amalei Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi said to Rav Acha, why are you so upset against them? Why do you want to protest? V'halei kvar karu oisa b'inasa. You know that they have said Kriyishma in the right time before the third hour of the day has elapsed. And why are they saying Kriyishma over again, now, a second time, klum karin aysa elikadei lamed betfilim mitoich dvar Torah. They're only doing it in order to stand up to say Shemona Esrei from having said words of Torah before the Shemona Esrei. That's the only reason why they're doing it. But the chiv of kriyishma kabbalas ol malchus shemayim, accepting the yoke of Hashem, that they've done at the right time before the third hour. So why do you want to protest? Amar Lei, so Rav Acha responded to Rabbi Yossi, Mipnei Adyoitis, I'm not worried about the learned people. I'm worried about the amaratzim. Those are the hedyaitis. The individuals who are not learned, shaloyu oimrim, they should not say, after seeing people say Kriya Shema and then Shemayin Esrei after the third hour, it's fine to say Kriya Shema after the third hour. Boy, nasahin karnaisa. They're saying it in the right time. Look, all these learned rabbis are saying Kriya Shema after the third hour. So next time, if I have to say Kriya Shema, I know I can say it after the third hour. There's a mistake that can transpire, and that's why I want to protest it. So although Rav Acha wanted to protest, we have seen that, as we learned on Yud Gimel Amud Beis, Rav Zeir B'Shem Rav Ami said that in the days of Rabbi Yochanan, they did it, and they said Kriya Shema over again after the third hour, and no one protested, and people were not worried that the Amaratzim would make this mistake. Continues the Gemara to explain the next part of the Mishnah on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, where we learned that Malkum She'amru Laharich Einu Rishoy Lekatzer Einu Rishoy Laharich, a place where Chazal said that you should be lengthy in the brachas, you're not allowed to make them short. If Chazal said make it short, don't make it long. The Pnei Moshe there explained that Malkum She'amru Laharich means Liftoach V'Lachtom B'Baruch, that we start the bracha with a baruch and we end the bracha with a baruch. That is called being marich. Here, in the context of our Gemara, as we see from the Charedim, the Gemara understands that Malkum She'amru Laharich means where Chazal have been misakin a long nusach to the bracha, a person is allowed to add his own additions to that lengthy nusach of Chazal. However, where Chazal said that one should be makatzer, then the person is not allowed to add to that short nusach that Chazal were koveya, which they established. Begins the Gemara, Elu brachos shemarichin bohen. These are the following brachos which one is allowed to add his own tefillah to the lengthy nusach that Chazal established. Birchas Rosh Hashanah, the special brachos on Rosh Hashanah of Malchi, Zichronis, and Shifras, where we bring in each bracha 10 psukim from Tanakh. And Yom HaKippurim, the Barash Cirillo explains that this is talking about Yom Kippur in the year of Yovel, the 50th year, where we say on Yom Kippur the brachas of Malchi, Zichronis, and Shifras that we say on Rosh Hashanah. Ubirchas Tainis Tzibur, as we find in Masech the Tainis, this was in the bracha of Goyal Yisrael, where six other brachas were added to Shemayin Esrei, and those were lengthy brachas, and there a person is allowed to add, in the middle of that bracha, his own tefillah. Mi birchaisav adam nikrim tamad chachum hu imburhu. The Shinin Nischais tells us that there is a word missing here, mi birchaisav shel adam nikr, as we find in Bavli, brachas daf nun amid aleph, that's how the Chazal is mentioned. From the brachas of a person, it is recognizable whether he's a Talmud Chacham or whether he's a boor, an ignoramus. As the Pnei Moshe explains, if he's marich in a place where you're not allowed to be marich, that will indicate that he is a boor, an ignoramus. Elu brachas shemakatsherman, these are the brachas where one is not allowed to add, where the nusach that Chazal were kaveya is very terse and short and concise. Hamavorach ala mitzvahs, a bracha over a mitzvah, ala peres on a fruit, ubirchas hazimen, at the beginning of benching, when one is benching in a group, the one who is leading the benching says, Nevorach shachalnu mishaloi, when there's three, and those who answer say, Borach shachalnu mishaloi v'tavoy chayinu. So there, you have to stick to the exact nusach that Chazal said, you can't make it lengthier. Ubracha achroina, and the last bracha shall birchas hamazon of benching, achra hamazon after the meal. Here we have a machloikus between the Charedim and the Pnei Moshe. The Charedim says that this refers to the bracha that the Rabbanan established in addition to the brachos min haTorah, and this is the bracha of Atov v'Ameitiv, as we learned in the Gemara brachas that it was nesaken in Yavne for the Haruge Beitar, whose bodies did not decompose, even though they lay on the fields for a long time, and they were brought for burial. When that occurred, Chazal were misakin the bracha of Hatov HaMeitiv. That's according to the Haredim what we are referring to. And that is also considered a short bracha, because the main part of the bracha is short. There were certain additions added to the bracha, but it's called a bracha ktsara. However, the Pnei Moshe says that this refers to birchis hayayin alakais, the bracha that one makes over the wine one has benched using a kos. That bracha has to be very short. Ask the Gemara, HaKol Shar HaBrachas Ademarech, are you telling me that all the other brachas a person is allowed to add and be marech, as the Haredim in Divrei HaMaskil HaKol Shar Brachas explains that the Gemara now is asking a stira from the Reisha to the Seifa of the Brisa that we have just learnt? Because from the Reisha, it would seem that the only time you could be marech is in those brachas where Chazal were very lengthy in their nusach, in the text of the bracha. However, by, let's call it, brachas beinanis, as the Haredim calls them, in other words, medium-sized brachas, such as Shmoina Esrei, you would not be allowed to. That's what it's indicated from the Reisha. However, from the Seifa, which tells us Elu brachas shemekatsrin bohen, Birchas HaMitzvah and Birchas HaPeiros, it would seem that only those one is Mekatzer, one does not add. But medium-sized brachas, one would add. They would have the same halacha as long brachas. And that's what the Gemara now is asking. From the Seifa, it would seem, HaKol Shar HaBrachos Adamarech. And yet from the Reisha, it would seem that by Shar Brachas, meaning Brachas Beinanis, you would not be Mar. So we have a steer Reisha to the Seifa. Amar Chizkia, answers Chizkia, min madatani hamarech harezeh meguna. We have a different brisa which teaches us that if a person is marech where he's not supposed to be marech, it is meguna, it is repulsive. V'hamakatzer harezeh meshubach, and a person who's makatzer, that's praiseworthy. Hado amra, this tells us, she'ein zeh klal, that this is not a klal, explains the Haredim, that since every teva, every word of the bracha was done in the lashon of the Haredim, b'midah v'mishkal, the anshei knesses hagdoila, who were misakin the brachas, they did it with a precise measurement of each and every word of the bracha, as he brings down from the Rosh in the tshuva, klal dalet, simin chav. From there you learn that the diuk from the seifa, that which we deduce from the seifa, that only the birchas hamitzvah and birchas haperis and those short brachas, one is not mekatzer, but the medium-sized brachas like Shmoina Esrei, one would be mekatzer. No, this diuk from the seifa is not a diuk. Don't learn anything from there. Don't learn that only these are the ones that you're mekatzer, but the others, the medium-sized ones, you're marech. The main diuk, the main deduction comes from the ratio of the brisa. It is only those lengthy brachas where one can add his own tefillah in that lengthy bracha, which was lengthy anyway because Chazal made it long. However, in the medium-sized brachas, like Shmoina Esrei, they have the same halacha as the very short brachos. So the main deduction is from the ratio and not from the seifa. And therefore, there's no stira, because any other bracha, except the very long ones, we have to say that the Anshei Knesset Gedolah were medaktik on every single word, not to add anything, not only to the very short brachas, like Birchas HaPeiros and Birchas HaMitzvahs, but even the medium-sized brachas, they were medaktik not to add anything. And therefore, the diuk of the Reisha is the main one, and we do not make a diuk from the Seifa. We should point out that the Gro in Aruch Chaim, Simen Samaches Sif Aleph, tells us that from the Lashon of the Braisa, which states, Hamarech Harezeh Meguna, that what he's doing is not correct, and he gets blamed for doing something incorrectly, we can learn, says the Gro, that he is Yotze the Bracha, even if he was Marech. He did something Meguna, but he did, on the other hand, fulfill the bracha. He's yotze the bracha. Continues the Gemara. Tani, we learned in a brisa, tzorech laharech begoil yisrael betainis, that one has to be marech in the bracha of goil yisrael in a tainis. In mesecht tainis, we have learned that on a tainis tzibber, the shatz, the shliach tzibber, adds in the bracha of goil yisrael and shmoina esrei the following words: Misha ones Avram b'har Maria, Hashem who answered Avram on har Maria, who Yane Eschem, he should respond to you as well. V'yishma b'kol tzakaschem, and he should listen to the voice of your cries. Hayoyim hazeh, today. And then the Shlich Tzibur adds his own tefillah. Besides adding from Chazal and adding his own tefillah in the bracha of Goel Yisrael, he in addition adds on another six brachas. So the Gemara made a diuk, deduced that you're only marach in the bracha of Goel Yisrael in a tainus. Ha b'shei shehu moisev enoi marach. Are you telling me in the six other brachas which he adds, for a total of 24 brachas in that Shmoneh Esrei, besides the Shmoneh Esrei, he adds another six brachas, are you telling me that in those you're not marach, you're only marach in Goel Yisrael? And the problem is that those are the main brachas, as the Haredim explains. Harei heim ikur v'roi laharach bahem. If anything, those are the six where you should be marach. And from what you're telling me, it seems only in Goel Yisrael and not in the six. How could that be? Amar Rav Yosa shaloi toimar hoyel v'hu me'en Shmoneh Esrei. Since Goel Yisrael is part of the regular Shmoneh Esrei, which we do a whole year round, lo yarach ba, he should not be marach. In other words, as the Haredim explains, the other six brachas that you add in the Tainus, which are the main ones that you're adding, those for sure you can be marach in. But even the bracha of Goel Yisrael, that's the Chiddush, even Goel Yisrael, which we say a whole year round, so you would have thought that you only add in the six brachas, but in the bracha of Goel Yisrael, you should not add. You should leave it the way it is a whole year round. Lefum kein, therefore, Tzorich Meimer, he has to tell you, Tzorich Laharech, you're allowed to be Marech, and not only are you allowed to be Marech, you should be Marech. You should make the bracha b'Goel Yisrael b'Tainus. On a Tainus in the bracha of Goel Yisrael, you're allowed, and not only allowed, but you should be marach, even though it's a common bracha to what was said the rest of the year. But on a Tainus, that's the day where you're allowed, and you should tzarech laharach b'Goel Yisrael. But the other six brachas, certainly you are marach in them. Continues the Gemara, Elu brachas sheshoichach in bohen. These are the brachas where you bow down in the bracha of Shmoneh Esrei. Since we have been speaking here in the Gemara before about adding words to the brachas, when you're allowed to, when you're not allowed to, the Gemara now discusses a person adding to the times that one bows down during Shmoneh Esrei. So we begin first with what is required. These are the brachas where one bows down, Berishoin, in the first bracha of Shmoneh Esrei, Tchil of Esayif, the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei, and at the end of the first bracha, which is Magen Avram. Uve Modim, we also bow down at the beginning, Tchila V'Soif. We bow down at the end of Modim, which is in the bracha of V'Chol HaChayim, where it says, HaTayv Shimcha L'chon Ne'elohoidois, we bow down in that bracha as well. So we're bowing down a total of four times. Continues the Gemara, HaShecheyach Alkol Bracha Bracha. If somebody bows down for each bracha in Shmoneh Esrei, Malam Demaisai Shalai Yashayach. So we teach him not to do this. This is not correct. The Haredim brings the Tosfos in Brachas Bavli Daf Lamed Daled Amud Aleph, Divrei HaMaskil Malamdin, ask Tosfos, V'im Taimer Yishcha V'Yishcha Mabekach, what's wrong if he continuously bows down during Shmoneh Esrei at each bracha? And Tosfos gives two terutzim. One terutz is that if he sees people bowing down wherever they feel like bowing down, so he thinks that laissez-faire, you could do whatever you want. And that could bring him to, in fact, not bow down at all, even when he's supposed to bow down, because he thinks that every person decides the amount of times that he will bow down. So one time he will bow down for every bracha in Shmoneh Esrei, and the other time he won't bow down for any bracha. And therefore Chazal insisted that it's only those four times. Another answer that the Haredim brings down from Tosfos is Chashinin Liyuara. If somebody bows down each time, it looks like Gaiva. And now we are going to have two opinions, according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, concerning two exceptions to the rule of bowing down for each bracha. A regular person is not supposed to do it for the reasons we just quoted from the Haredim, the name of Tosfos and Brachas, but there are two individuals who do bow down by each bracha, and that is a kohen gadol and a king. Rabbi Yitzchak ben Nachman b'shem Rabbi Shuben Levi. Rabbi Yitzchak ben Nachman said in the name of Rabbi Shuben Levi. This is the first version in Rabbi Shuben Levi. Kohen gadol sheicheach Al Saif Kol Brachu Bracha. So here's one exception, according to Gadol. He bows down at the end of each bracha. Hamelech, the king bows down, Roish Kol Brachu Bracha, Visaif Kol Brachu Bracha, at the beginning of each bracha and at the end of each bracha. As the Charedim, the bottom, the last Charedim on the Amud Divrei Maskil Kohen Gadol brings down from Rashi in the Bavli, that Kol Mashu Gadol B'Yoyser Tzarech Lachnia U'Lahash B'Latzmi. The greater the person is, if he's a Kohen Gadol, he bows down at the end of each bracha. If he's a Melech, and he's even greater than a Kohen Gadol, then he requires more humility, and therefore he has to bow down at the beginning and at the end of each bracha. However, Rav Simon, B'Shem Rabbi Shu ben Levi, we have a different version in what Rabbi Shu ben Levi said concerning a Kohen Gadol and a Melech. He says that HaMelech, Mishehu Kareya, from the time that he bows down, Einin Niskaf, he does not get up, Achu Mashlim Kol Tvilosei, until he finishes the entire Tvilah. So, concerning Kohen Gadol, he agrees, Rav Simon, with Rav Yitzchak Bar Nachman, that the Kohen Gadol bows down only at the end of each bracha, not at the beginning. But he disagrees concerning a melech. Whereas Rav Yitzchak Bar Nachman said that the melech bows at the beginning, at the end, Rav Simon says once he bows down the first time, he remains bowed down through the entire Shemoneh Esrei. My time, what's the source? What's the basis for Rav Simon saying in the name of Rabbi Shu ben Levi that the Melech Mishu Kareya Einai Niskaf Achu Mashlim Kol Tvilosei? As we turn to Daf Yud Dalid Amid Beis, because the pasuk states in Melachim Aleph Perek Ches Pasuk Nun Dalid concerning when Shlomo HaMelech inaugurated the Beis HaMikdash, Vayihi Kechaloi Shlomo L'Spal HaShem, it was at the end when Shlomo finished davening to Hashem, as Kol HaTfilah, the entire Tfilah, as Kol HaTchinah, the entire supplication, Azois, this one, come, he got up, L'Fnei Mizbech HaShem, in front of the Mizbech of Hashem, Michroi Al Bircha, from kneeling down on his knees. So we see by a Melech, once he kneels down at the beginning, he remains in that state until the very end. As an introduction to the next piece of Gemara, let us mention the Bavli and Brachas stuff, Lamed Dalet Amid Beis, where it discusses the different types of bowing down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Bavli says that Kida Alapayim, the word Kida means that a person bows down with his face on the ground. Exactly how he does that, we will soon learn in the Charedim. The word Kriya is Al Birkayim, a person kneels down, and Hishtachava is Pishut Yadayim V'Raglayim, where a person places himself, his feet and his hands, he prostrates himself totally on the floor in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the next piece of Yerushalmi, and in the Charedim, we will see how the Yerushalmi understands these various terms of Kriya, Kida, and Ishtachavoa. Begins the Yerushalmi. Ezu Kriya ve'ezu Bricha. The Yerushalmi brings in a new type of bowing down with the word Bricha, which we don't find in the Bavli, and the Charedim will explain the difference between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. So let us first learn this small piece of Gemara here, and then we will get the entire explanation in the Charedim, which we'll learn together, because it covers many important inyanim in this sugya. So the way the Charedim explains the Gemara, we find the word Kriya and we find the word Bricha in various psukim, which the Charedim will bring down. And the Gemara wants to know what exactly is Kriya and what exactly is Bricha. Rabchiya Rabba Hera Bricha Lifnei Rebbe. So the Gemara doesn't tell us exactly what it is, but the Gemara relates an incident that the great Rabchiya showed in front of Rebbe how Bricha is done. V'nifsach, he became lame as a result of that action. V'nisrape, and then he got cured. Rabbi Levi Bar Sisi, Hera Kriya Lifnei Rebbe. He showed how Kriya is done in front of Rebbe. V'nifsach, he also became lame. V'loy nisrape, he remained crippled as a result of that demonstration to Rebbe. From our Gemara, it would seem bepashtus that Kriya is more difficult to do than Bricha, and that's why Rav Chiya got lame, but it wasn't such a permanent injury, whereas Rav Levi was doing the more difficult Kriya, and he became permanently disabled. If we look in the Shinui Neschois on the right side, Ois Beis, it and Eitz Gimel, the Shinui Nischois flips around these terms. And the Shinui Nischois brings from the Yerushalmi in Sukkah, Peirik Hei Halacha Dalid, just the opposite, that Rab Chiya showed Kriya, and Rab Levi showed Bericha. And this, in fact, is the Girsa that we find in the Haredim here. Let us now learn the Haredim inside to get more clarification in this Gemara. Begins the Haredim, the first one in the left margin, says the Haredim, Divri Amaskal Eze Kriya Eze Bericha, Kolaymer. Nishala Shela Lifnei Rebbe, Beis HaMedrash. This question was asked in front of Rebbe in the Beis HaMedrash, what is Kriya and what is Bricha? Vehera Lifneim, Reb Chiya Bepoyel, Kate said he, HaChriya. Reb Chiya showed HaChriya is done. Again, this is not the way we have it in our Yerushalmi. This is following the Shinui Nischois based on the Yerushalmi in Sukkah, that it was Reb Chiya who demonstrated Kriya. The Levi Hera HaBricha, again, not like our Yerushalmi, but like the Yerushalmi in Sukkah, that Levi was the one who in fact showed Bricha. And then it would come out, according to the Yerushalmi in Sukkah, that Bricha seems to be more difficult than Kriya. B'mesechta Megillah Perek Shlishi, Maisi, the Levi Achve Kida Kami Rebbe V'itla. There, in Mesechta Megillah, in the Bavli, it says that Levi showed Rebbe Kida, and he became lame as a result. What is Kida? Pirush Rashi. Achve Kida, Noyetz Goylov, he stuck his thumbs in the ground. V'nishin Aleim, he rested on those thumbs. V'shoicha ad shen noyshek haritzpa, he lowered himself down. He did like a push-up on his thumbs until he kissed the ground. V'zoikev, and then he brought himself up. Now, how did he bring himself up? If he was using his hands, it would be a push-up. But he was only using his thumbs. He didn't have enough strength in his thumbs to lift his entire body. Says the Haredim, "Mitarch she'ani yochli shoynal goydlov." Since he can't rest on his thumbs, ve'ein yod of misayosay soibis kifas. So his hands, in this position, are not helping in lifting him off the ground. Ve'tzorach les ames b'matznav. The only way he's able to do this is to strengthen himself in his thighs. Through the pressure of his thighs, he can lift himself up. So by doing that, he became lame in the Bukada Atma, is the socket that connects the leg to the thigh. That became damaged permanently in the case of Levi when he showed Kida in front of Rebbe. Says the Haredim, Das Yerushalmi, the Kriya Ubricha Tartininu. So the Yerushalmi disagrees with the Bavli that we saw in Brachas Daf Lamedalit Amid Beis, where there were three terms, Kriya, Kida, and Ishtachavoa. Rather, according to the Yerushalmi, Kriya and Bricha Tarti Ninu. Kriya and Bricha are two separate kinds of bowing down. Dichsev, where do we find that they are considered two separate types of bowing down? We have a pasuk in Tehillim, Boyu Nishtachav and Nichra, let us bow down and do Kriya, and then Nivrichol of Hashem Yisainu, and then we will do Bricha in front of Hashem, who made us. Ve'im kein, afal gab de bereish tol shloim aksiv, b'divrei ha-yomim, v'yavrech al birkov, that shloim ha-melech did bricha on his knees, u'besefer malach aksiv, kechalois ha-tfila, when the tfila ended, kam mechroya al birkov, he got up from Kriya, so in divrei ha-yomim, it calls what shloim did bricha, and in malachim it calls it Kriya, al kein srichon on ha-leimer, we have to say, the tarti, that Kriya and Bricha, that's what the Yerushalmi holds, are two stages in bowing down. How? B'tchila Bricha. First, a person kneels down on the floor, and ulebesayif Kriya, because that's what the Pasuk is saying in Divrei Yamim. He started out Vayavrech al Birchav, and then it says, Kam Mechraya. What was the end? What did he get up from? What was the result after the Bricha? Ulebesayif came Kriya. V'loy hisker Yerushalmi Kida the Sover Haina Kriya. The Yerushalmi holds different than the Bavli in two respects. The Bavli holds its Kriya, Kida, and Ishtachavoa, whereas the Yerushalmi holds its Bricha, Kriya, and Ishtachavoa. And what happened with Kida? Kida, according to the Yerushalmi, is the same as Kriya. And how do we see that? From two places in the Targum. The Targum Vayiktu Vayishtachavu is Vicharu Visagidu. So we see the word Vayiktu is Vicharu. And Vayikad Orts of Yishtachavu, Vikara, says the Targum Al Ara. The Kida Haina Kriya. V'habavli perek shlishi de Megillah, and in Shavuos, and in Brachas, hisker kida kri shachavav, lo hisker bricha. This sphere like, even the chsiv al birchav bekriyu bebricha chadahi, since it uses the term al birchav concerning kriya and bricha, we have to say kriya and bricha are all one. So the Bavli has three terms, the Yerushalmi has three terms, but they are not the same three terms. According to the Bavli, it's kriya which equals bricha, because since they both are connected to the birkayim, to the knees, so we have to say that kriya and bricha are one and the same. And then there is kida, this is what Levi showed in front of Rebbe with the thumbs. And then you have ishtachava, where he prostrates himself completely on the ground. The chredim asks, umaydechsev nichrav nivracha. We brought psukim before to show that kriya and bricha are two separate actions. No, it's the same action. It's kneeling down on the floor. Kefal inyan b'miloy shinus l'chazeg. It's saying the same thing in different words to give it strength. And v'rabim hevi reb David kimchi kaka. The Radak in Tanakh brings many cases where you have two words that mean the same, and they're just said in different words to give more emphasis by saying the same thing in two different ways. So this is what the Haredim says. It comes out, if we make a sikum of what we have learned here in the Haredim, we've learned that according to Yerushalmi, kriya and bricha are two separate things. We've learned that in the beginning there's bricha, and in the end there's kriya, based on psukim that we found. We've also learned that according to Yerushalmi, kida and kriya are the same, as we found proofs in the Targum. And it comes out that according to Yerushalmi, you have bricha, you kneel down. Then you have kriya, which is equal to kida, which is what Levi did with the thumbs. And then you have ishtachavoa, pishud yadayim v'raglayim. According to the Bavli, kriya is on the knees. Kida is on the thumbs, with his face on the ground. And ishtachavoa is pishud yadayim v'raglayim. And kriya and bricha, according to the Bavli, are one and the same. Now, it comes out, according to the way the Haredim has the Girsin R. Yerushalmi, that it was Rab Chiya who did Kriya. And it was Levi who did Bricha. And according to Yerushalmi, Bricha and Kriya are not the same. And Kriya is Kida. So if you ask us which one did the more difficult one, we would think that it was Rab Chiya who did the more difficult, because he did kriya according to the nusach and the Yerushalmi and Sukkah, which the Haredim has the same nusach as the Shinui Nuschois puts into our Gemara. Rab Chiya did kriya, which is kida, which is a very difficult thing to do. And he got lame, but he got cured. Rab Levi, according to our Girsa of the Yerushalmi Sukkah and the Haredim here, he did the easier one. He did bricha, which is falling down on your knees. And yet he got lame and he didn't get cured. So one could say, one did the harder one and got cured. It was only temporary that he became lame. And one did the easier one and he was lame permanently. It's possible. But there is a Bavli in Megillah, Daf Chav Beis Amid Beis, and in Sukkah Daf Nun Gimel Amid Aleph, and in Tain Daf Chav Hei Amid Aleph, which says that Levi didn't get hurt because it was such a difficult thing. And we would have no proof which one is harder, which one is more difficult. The reason Levi got hurt was a punishment, because we find that there was a Tainis Tzibur, Klal Yisrael needed rain, and they prayed, they davened, they fasted, and nothing worked. And brazenly, with chutzpah, Levi said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you have forsaken your people. As a result of speaking with that chutzpah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he became lame. So it has nothing to do with him doing something more difficult than Rab Chiya, but rather it was an oinish, and that's why the Bavli tells us that Levi got his oinish when he did the easier thing, could be of bricha, which bepashtus, kneeling down on the ground, is easier than the difficult kida. But this gemara has nothing to do with easier or harder. It has to do that Levi received an oinish. If we look in the Haredim, the next Haredim after the long one that we learned, Divrei HaMaaseh of Levi, Nifsech V'lo Nisrapeh, Says the Charedim, he brings down the Lashon of the Gemara there in Megillah. Mefarsh Perek Shlishi in Megillah. Mipnei Shepam Achas Bispal Loi Alek Shomim. He Tiyek Dvorm Klapi Maile. He acted Chutzpedik to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sha'amar, he said, Alisa Lamorim. You went up to heaven. Ve'ein Atamashgich Abanecha. You're not worried about your children anymore. They need rain, they need parnasa, and you've abandoned them. And it seems that the Charedim had a girsa which we don't have, that the Gemara was asking a stira. Here it says that he got punished because he was chutzpedik to Hashem, and yet it seems he got punished because he did a dangerous thing when he threw himself down on his knees. That was a danger as well. And the Yerushalmi answers, based on the girsa of the Charedim in the first wide line, ha v'ha garmalei, both together caused it. Lefi, says the Charedim, Sheitiach, because he was chutzpedik against Hashem, Niskalkel b'shas hasakona, Mako le'en marpe. Therefore, he got wounded with an injury that had no cure. He was permanently disabled because he did a dangerous thing. Bricha, perhaps, is not as dangerous as Kida on the thumbs, but it's also something of sakana. And since he was chutzpedik and he deserved an einish, those two things came together and gave him a makah which had no cure, and he remained permanently disabled. The next piece of Gemara explains the pasuk in Melachim Aleph Perik Ches Pasuk Nun Dalet by Shlomo HaMelech at the Chanukah's Beis HaMikdash, Vayihi kechalo Shlomo l'spalel Hashem es kol ha'tfilah v'atchina hazois. When Shlomo HaMelech finished his tefillah at the Chanukah's Habayis, kam l'fnei mizbech Hashem, mikroy al birkav, he got up from kneeling on his knees, v'kapov prusois hashamoyim, and his hands were outstretched to heaven. Begins the Gemara, v'kapov prusois hashamoyim, Amar Rab Aivu, he was standing like an arthritic person with his hands open, explains the Charedim in the second wide line, in the name of Rabbi Yaakov ben Chaviv in his Sefer Ayin Yaakov. Shamati ki beloshen arav, in Arabic, kairin kein l'choyli hanikra pungara, which is an arthritic person, umishi yeshli ha'choyli ahu, someone who suffers from that illness, eino yochel lifshet yadav kolkach, he's unable to spread out his hands to a large extent because of his arthritic condition. V'zeh yoyre goydol anvesinusoy l'fano yizbarach, and this indicates Shlomo HaMelech's anivus, his humbleness in front of Hashem. So he stood with his hands barely outstretched, pleading from Hashem, shows his great anivus. V'gam sheyadav asura shalei laver al mitzvah, another indication of his hands being so close together was to indicate that his hands are like tied up not to be over on any mitzvah. That is the pshat of Rab Aivu, continues the Yerushalmi. Amar Rab Lazar bar Avina, ke kapayim halolu shloi notfu bebinyan beis hamigdash klum. Rab Lazar understands it in a different way. It's like a person standing in front of Hashem with wide open hands to indicate that he did not take a drop, shloi notfu, he didn't take a drop from the binyan beis hamikdash. What does that mean? Explains the Pnei Moshe, Divrei Amaschil kekapayim alolu, on the right hand column, Kolaymer. The Rabbi Lazar Dorish, the Lahachi Pirish Kapov, he spread out his hands, Laharois, kekapayim alolu, like these hands, Shehein Akshav Purushois, that they are open, widespread, Ve'ein Bohem Klum, look at them, they have nothing in them. Kach, Leinene, Mikolo, Eitzris, Shehigdish, David, Aviv, Binyan, Beis HaMikdash, Klum. So too, Shlomo HaMelech had no pleasure from all of the treasure that David invested in the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Nothing, not even one penny for his own personal necessity and needs. The next piece of Yerushalmi deals with Moedim de Rabbanan. This is found in the Bavli and Soita Daf Mem Amid Aleph. And Moedim de Rabbanan is said by the Tzibur while the Shliach Tzibur says the regular Moedim. It is called Moedim de Rabbanan because it is a composite of short different tefillahs that various Rabbanim said, and it was put together, or because it was made by the Moroyim and not like the other brachas in Shemoneh Esrei, which were made by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. So it was given a special title, Moedim de Rabbanan. The Avudram says the reason why this Moedim de Rabbanan, which has various nuschois, as the Bavli has a nusach, we're going to see four different nuschois here in the Yerushalmi, But the reason that we have this Moedim D'Rabbanan is that although we make a Shliach Tzibur, a Shliach for the Tzibur to say all the brachas of Shemayin Esrei, but one does not make a Shliach for Hoidah, for thanks, one does it personally by themselves. And that's why, while the Shliach Tzibur is saying the regular Moedim, the Tzibur says its own Moedim D'Rabbanan. Begins the Gemara, Tana Rabbi Chalafta Ben Shaul, Rabbi Chalafta Ben Shaul learned, HaKol Shoichin Im Shliach Tzibur Boidah. During Moedim, when the Shliach Tzibur is reciting Moedim, everybody bows down together with him. Rav Ze'era said, Ubavad b'moedim, you only bow down at Moedim, means at the beginning of Moedim, and not at the end. Rav Ze'era Savar Lekroiva, even though Rav Ze'era just said that you only bow down at the beginning of Moedim, however, how did he act himself? Savar means, as the Pnei Moshe tells us, that he was mitzape, he was waiting to make sure that his Moedim D'Rabbanan, which is shorter than the regular Moedim, he would say it very slowly, Lekroiva, so that he would end equal with the Kroiva. Who's the Kroiva? Says the Rosh Cirillo. Lekroiva, Shliach Tzibur Korikain. That's the Shliach Tzibur. Shehu Mekarev Liban Shel Tzibur Lamakim. That he is Mekarev through his beautiful rendition of the davening. He's Mekarev the Tzibur to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rav Ze'era said the Moedim D'Rabbanan very slowly so that he would, waiting for the Shliach Tzibur to finish his Moedim, he would finish at the same time, Kedei Lashuach Imoy Tchilo V'Soyv, so that he would bow down at the beginning of Moedim and at the end of Moedim. And there are various pshatim in this Gemara. We will go according to the Gra in Orach Chaim Siman Kuf Chav Zayin Sif Aleph, who explains the Gemara as follows, that Rav Ze'era had told us that the Moedim, which the Shliach Tzibur says, that invokes in us an obligation that we have to bow down because of the modim that the Shliach Tzibur is saying. But we also have to bow down for a different reason, and that is because, as explained before, we have an obligation, while the Shliach Tzibur is saying modim, to say our own modim d'Rabbanan. And modim d'Rabbanan requires, the minig is, to bow down at the beginning and at the end. So Rav Ze'era, although he said all you have to do is bow down at the beginning when the Shliach Tzibur is saying modim, he himself was nayek to slowly finish his own Moedim D'Rabbanan, so that it would come out together, he would be concluding with the Shliach Tzibur. And then, since he was bowing down because of his own personal Moedim D'Rabbanan, it came out that he was bowing down at the end when the Shliach Tzibur was finishing his Moedim. Had he not done his Moedim D'Rabbanan slowly and finished at the same time, and he would have bowed down for his own personal Moedim D'Rabbanan, then when the Shliach Tzibur finished his Moedim, as the Rav Fulda brings here, Ki Zula Zel La Yishcha B'Soif Shaharei Hu Maguna. When you're not supposed to bow down, it's Maguna if it's not appropriate to bow down when you're not supposed to bow down. So Rav Ze'era is telling us, because of the chiyuv of the Shliach Tzibur's Moedim, that you only bow down at the beginning. But the Moedim, the Rabbanan, you have to bow down at the beginning and at the end. And he would finish slowly the Moedim D'Rabbanan, so that when he finished his Moedim D'Rabbanan and he bowed down, it was at the same time as the Shliach Tzibur was finishing his Moedim, and therefore there was nothing wrong if Rav Ze'era was bowing down at the end, because he wasn't bowing down for the Shliach Tzibur's Moedim, he was bowing down for his own Moedim, which he made sure would be ending at the same time as the Shliach Tzibur's Moedim. But were he not to have ended at the same time, and he would have bowed down for Moedim D'Rabbanan earlier, then when it came to the Shliach Tzibur's Moedim, he would not have been able to bow down. It would have been Meguna, as Rav Ze'era says, you're only supposed to bow down because of the Shliach Tzibur's Moedim only at the beginning. Continues the Gemara, speaking about Moedim D'Rabbanan, Rabbi Yassa, Kad Solik Lahocha, Rabbi Yassa, when he came up from Bavel to here, meaning to Eretz Yisrael, Chamten, he saw that when the Shliach Tzibur was repeating the Shmon Esrei in Chazoras Hashatz, at Modim, what were the people doing? Gachnin, they were bowing down, Malachishin, and they were murmuring. Of course, what were they saying? They were saying Moedim D'Rabbanan. Amar Loin, so Rabbi Yassa said to the people there, Mahu Dein Lechisha, what exactly is the nature of this murmuring that you are whispering right now? Asked the Gemara in amazement, what was Rabbi Yassa's question? Veloishmiya Demar Rav Chelbo. Did not Rabbi Yasa hear? Demar means the Omar, missing the Aleph. Didn't he hear what Rav Chelbo said in the name of Rav Shimon, b'shem Rav Yochanan, in the name of Rav Yochanan, b'shem Rav Yirmiyah, in the name of Rav Yirmiyah? And also it was Rav Chanina who said it b'shem Rav Maisha, and it was also Rav Chiya who said it b'shem Rav Simoi. V'ista amrin le chavraya b'shem Rav Simoi, and some say that it was an anonymous group of Talmidei Chachamim who said it in the name of Rav Simoi. This is the nusach of the Moedim D'Rabbanan. The Gemara hearer, and on Tes Vav Amid Aleph, is going to present four different versions of the Moedim D'Rabbanan. And in fact, in the Bavli Sota Daf Mem Amid Aleph, we have a fifth version. And we are accustomed to saying the version that is found in the Bavli. So the Gemara here on Amid Beis and in Daf Tes Vav Amid Aleph is going to enumerate and spell out exactly what these four nuschois that Yerushalmi presents. And what the Gemara is asking is, what was Rav Yasa's question as to the people, what they were murmuring during Moedim of Chazor Sashatz? Didn't he know that there's Moedim D'Rabbanan? Didn't he even know one of the nuschois of Moedim D'Rabbanan? What was his question? So the Seder of the Gemara is to first delineate what the four nuschois are, and then after we've done that, the Gemara on Tezvav Amid Aleph, in the next year we will find the answer to this question of what was Rav Yasa all puzzled and perplexed concerning what they were whispering. So says the Gemara, the first of the versions, Moedim Anachnu Lach, we thank you, Adon Kol HaBriyos, the master of all creatures, Elokah HaTushbachos, Hashem of praises, Tzur Olam, the rock of the worlds, Chei HaOlam, the life of eternity, Yotzer Bereishis, the molder of creation, Mechayim Esim, the one who resurrects the dead. We thank you, Hashem, Shechi Yisonu, that you have kept us alive. V'ki Amtonu, you have sustained us. V'zichi Yisonu, you have given us merit. V'si Atonu, you have assisted us. V'keraftonu, and you have brought us close. Lahodos, to graciously thank L'shimcha, your name. And then we conclude with a bracha. Baruch atah Hashem, blessed are you, Hashem, Keil Hoidois, the God of thanksgiving. In the Bavli, this bracha is not found. The Rambam does not bring this bracha. And the Rush does bring the bracha. The Beis Yosef makes a compromise and says that we should end with the words, Baruch Keil HaHoidois. And this is our minig, that we don't make an actual bracha with Hashem's name at the conclusion of Moedim D'Rabbanan. We have here a second version. Rav Bo Bar Zavda B'Shem Rav, he said that the nusach is as follows. Moedim Anachnu Lach, we thank you, Hashem, She'onu Chayavim L'Hoidos L'Shimcha, we thank you that we are obligated to thank your name. The fact that you feel we are worthy to give thanks to you, for that itself, we are thanking you for that opportunity. Taranenas Vasai, my lips rejoice, Ki Azamra Lach, that I am singing, when I am singing to you, v'nafshi, and my soul, asher padisa, which you redeemed. And again, the Yerushalmi ends off with a bracha using Hashem's name, Baruch Atah Hashem, Keil Ha'idois, the God of Thanksgiving. A third version, Rav Shmuel Barmina b'shem Rav Acha, Ha'idoya v'shevach l'shmecha, there is thanksgiving and praise to your name. L'cha gedula to you is greatness. L'cha gvura to you is strength. L'cha teferes to you is splendor, Hashem. Yehi ratzom v'necha Hashem alikeinu v'lekevitzen. And may it be the will, your will, Hashem, our God and the God of our forefathers. Shatis mecheinu minifiloseinu. That you will support us from our falling. And you will help us to get up from our fall. V'siskefeinu mikfifoseinu, and you will straighten us from our being bent. Ki ata hu samech naiflum, because you are the one who supports those who have fallen. Let's return to Daf Tes Vav Amid Aleph. V'zoikev kifufim, and you strengthen those who are bent. Umalei rachmim, you're full of mercy. V'ein oid melvatcha, there is no one like you. And again, the Yerushalmi ends with a bracha using Hashem's name. Baruch ato Hashem, Kael Ha'idois, blessed are you Hashem, the God of thanksgiving. So we have done three of the four Nuschois. In Mirtz Hashem, in the next shir, we will do the final fourth version according to the Yerushalmi of Ma'idim Derabbanan. And then we will answer the question of, since there were so many different versions, it is impossible that Rav Yassin didn't know even one of those versions. And if so, what was his question to the people of Eretz Yisrael who were murmuring Ma'idim Derabbanan? What was he puzzled about? Why did he ask them, Mahu Dein Lechisha? What is this whispering, this murmuring that you are doing during Ma'idim of Chazaras Hashatz? We'll get the answer in the next shir.